Vishus Marinu Harav Shlita. I would like to say this year actually Le'ilu Nishmas Joe Goldstein, Rav Yosef Ben Ephraim Shlomo, who sadly left us 10 days ago, who was so devoted to this Kehillah that despite living in Golders Green in a road where there were four shuls, he nevertheless would come to the North Hendon Adas. Land for peace, question mark. As correctly pointed out to me by Norman, it's really an academic question, because we don't think there would be peace if we give away land. We would rather have peace for peace. A promise for peace is not peace. So in a way, the question might not be as practical as it sounds. But today is not a political talk. I'm not here on behalf of Ariel Sharon or Bibi Netanyahu. It does say, Kili kol ha'aretz, Hashem says the land is mine and it's not therefore ours to give away. However, we will look at what has been written on this subject in a brief way. And forgive me if you've already heard the story about Ariel Sharon and Yasser Arafat, who meet to discuss peace. Before they start, Sharon refers to the Kriyas Yamsuf and says, do you know that when Nachshon Ben Aminodov jumped in the water, he left his clothes on the side, and when he came back, they were gone. And they are saying that they were stolen by Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians. What are you going to do about it? So Arafat shrugs and says, what are you talking about? None of us were around then at that time. Says Sharon, right, now we start talking. There's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, in Perek Ayin Tes, Sif Zayin, which says, Omer Rabbi Yudan Bar Rav Simon, Ze'echod Negimu Mekomas She'ena Omer Sa'olim Nechonon Nehonos Yisrael. It's talking there about when Yaakov bought a piece of land. It was the Yad B'nei Chamor, the piece in Shechem, Joseph's tomb, as we call it. And the Medrash there says that there are three places which in great detail talk about a sale of land. One is the Ma'ar HaSamach Pela, which Avraham Avinu bought in Perek Gaf Gimel in Bereishis. The other one is Har HaBayis, which was bought by David HaMelech in Shmuel Beis, Perek Kaf Dalud. And the third one is Shechem, Perek Kaf Gimel in Bereishis. How amazing is it that those three purchases are grouped together by the Medrash, and it is elaborated, let's say, the price paid and whom they bought it from, and it is significant that nowadays those are the three areas which are really the subject of a supposed dispute. Har HaBayis, the old city, Ma'ar HaSamach Pela is of course Hebron, and Shechem is Nablus, which is the West Bank. And it's written, in fact, by Rav Shmuel Ma'oliver, why is it written that Avraham Avinu bought for 400 shekels such an expensive price? He says, because we want to demonstrate from this that no price is too high to buy land in Eretz Yisrael. We're also familiar with the very first Rashi and Bereishis. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Lama Hiskel Atova Bereishis. Why does the Torah start with Bereishis? The Torah could have started in Achodesh Azalachem, the first mitzvah of the Torah. Why do we have to have the whole story of Bereishis? Purely Kach Masav Higidliamo, that Hashem wanted to make realize that Eretz Yisrael was his and was his to give to Eretz Yisrael. The Umos Ha'olam will say, listen, Matem, you were thieves, you stole Eretz Yisrael, but we will know from the whole stories of Bereishis that we are not thieves. So you can ask the question, what good is this Rashi, this Chazal? If we're going along into the United Nations arguing, we got Bereishis, we've got the Torah and so on, what do the peoples of the world care? They're not interested what our Torah says. The answer is that we ourselves should know that when we go out there and defend our borders of Eretz Yisrael, we have that justification, we have our rights. So that when our boys are fighting for it, nobody can possibly make us feel that we are gazlonim, thieves, because we know that this is a God-given right. So the mitzvah of Kivush Eretz Yisrael is very much tied up hand in hand with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel, Pasuk from Gimel, Varashtem Es Haaretz Vishavtem Bo. So you shall receive the land, you will inherit the land, and you will dwell in it. Says the Ramban, we learn from this four things. There is a mitzvah to conquer the land by force. There is a mitzvah to dwell in the land. there is a mitzvah not to refrain. Sorry, there is a mitzvah to refrain from seething other land outside Israel, and not to allow these other people to remain in the land. So your first handout is, in fact, from the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, on which Ramban gives his additions, his own comments. Strangely, the Rambam does not list Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And this is important to understand in the context of our question today. The Ramban does define Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs. We won't read his whole piece and just extracts from it, but in your left-hand column is the piece of the Ramban. Mitzvah Dalet Shenitzdavenu L'Reshes Ha'oretz Hashem L'Son Ha'kel Yisrael L'Av Hasein L'Avrom Yitzchak Yaakov, that we are commanded to inherit the land which was given through Avrom Yitzchak Yaakov, L'Nazva B'Yatzel Hasein Min Ha'umos, we may not leave it, O'Lishama, or to leave it desolate, V'Omru L'Hem V'Arashnim Es Ha'oretz V'Shavtem Bo. So you shall dwell in it, Kilachem L'Sat Yisrael L'Reshes Ha'oretz, so I gave you the land, Yisnachaltem Yisrael Hashem Nishbaz Yilav Oseichem. So, without wanting to go into all the detail, we'll go into his conclusion. So we'll look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. He says the Kibush Eretz Yisrael applies to all generations. And this is a machlokis rishonim, because according to the Rambam, it seems that the Kibush, the mitzvah of conquering the land of Israel, applied then and doesn't apply nowadays. But he says, V'ome anika mitzvah shechachomim mafligim bo, that this mitzvah, v'hu diras eretz Yisrael, living in the land of Israel, as it says in the Gemara Ksuvah staff, kuf, kolayotz m'men avadar b'chutzla, it's a beinechel kabiradar zoro. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael and then leaves it is as if he is worshipping idolatry. Sheneem, as it says, ki gershuni hayom misapeches m'nachras Hashem, no malach avodu lehim acherim. Then Pasuk is quoted to show that if a person leaves Eretz Yisrael, he is worshipping other gods. That all this is a mitzvah, we are commanded to inherit the land to dwell in it. It is a positive commandment which applies to every single generation, and each one of us are commanded it, even at the time when we are split up around the world without a Beis HaMikdash. It is still a mitzvah, ki yadua b'talmud b'mekam yisarveh, as we know from the Gemara in many places. We'll come back to that in a moment. The Roshon Sifri, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, Rabbi Mesorah ben Cheresh, there is a story from the Sifri of these Rabbonim, Rabbi Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Nosson, Shai Yotzi, Chutz Alaretz, they went out of Israel, the Yula Platio, they came out on the road, V'zuchu es Eretz Yisrael, they were remembering Eretz Yisrael, V'zokves Einayim, Zolgudim Oseir, they... their eyes went into tears, they shed their tears, v'koru b'gdayim, they tore their garments, v'koru amikro azer, v'rishto v'shavto bo, and they were reading the posuk, v'shamar tolasos, Rami Yeshiva said, Tzor shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. And Chazal say that living in the land of Israel is equal to all the mitzvahs, so much so that if you walk Dalad Amos, you are doing a mitzvah. Just to walk 4 cubits in the land of Israel, some people do it, they get down from the LL plane and they kiss the tarmac, not knowing that it was imported from Uganda, but they walk 4 amos, and that is a mitzvah. Okay, now on the right hand side you've got a perush called Megillas Esther. That's not to be confused with a Megillah called Esther. This was Rav Yitzhak Leon, who was a perush on the Rambam, and here he's giving an explanation on the Rambam Nir Ali, if you've got it there on the right hand side, Kimar Shalom Mono Harav. That Rav, namely the Rambam, did not include and count this mitzvah. The mitzvah of inheriting the land and dwelling in it. This was a mitzvah at the time of Moshe, Yeshua, and David. And therefore, because it's not knowing B'chol Daros in every generation, it's not listed as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And that mitzvah applied as long as they were not yet driven out from the land. But after we were put into Golus, this mitzvah does not apply until Mashiach comes. On this, it's the Satman and the Kretal Kartaniks who rely, saying, well, there isn't a mitzvah. However, the Megillas Esther is not the only perush on the Rambam. There are others who write on the Rambam to say that the reason why the Rambam does not include it as one of the 613 mitzvahs is not because he doesn't regard it as a mitzvah. There are certain things which the Rambam describes in his Shiroshim, in his principles, he doesn't regard as mitzvahs because they are shorish, they are roots of our Yiddishkeit. They are so fundamental to our lives that it's not necessary to include them as one of the 630 mitzvahs. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, is not listed by all the Rishonim as one of the 630 mitzvahs, yet it is the foundation of our faith. Why? Because it is so fundamental, it's not considered necessary to list it. There is a sefer which was written by Rav Shmuel Merel, who grew up in this very shul, and he wrote a sefer on the mitzvah of Yishuv Be'eretz Yisrael, and he shows from a number of sources in his sefer Zichron Yaakov that the shoresh is such that the Rambam regarded it's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel, even though he did not list it as one of the 613. And one can rely on the Tashbat, who actually says this is a mitzvah koleles, because within it, this encompassing mitzvah, you've got truma, you've got mice, and you've got leket, shikhapeya, and the various other mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, and that is therefore included in all of them. There is another view which says that what the Rambam was giving was a zechus, that saying to live in Israel is a merit. It's good advice, and it's a merit because you get the kedusha of the land. How do we understand that? The Rambam himself says in Hilchos Melachim in Perek Hei Halacha Yud Beis that one should always live in Eretz Yisrael, even if most of the people living there are not Jewish. And in Chutz Laaretz, if you have a community where most of the people are Jewish, says the Rambam, it's still better to live in Eretz Yisrael. He writes about walking 4 amos in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, even before the Torah was given, we know from the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Lamed Zayin Se'if Ches, that Yaakov Avinu was very afraid when he was going to meet Esau. Now why should Yaakov Avinu be afraid if Hashem gave him a promise? Look, I'm going to look after you. If Hashem says, I'm going to look after you, then what is Yaakov so worried about? Says the Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu realized that for all those years he was away outside Eretz Yisrael, Esau was living in Eretz Yisrael. So even though Esau was a Rasha, because he was living in Eretz Yisrael, that gave him a zechus, a merit. And that merit could give points to Esau and put Yaakov in a weaker position in their conflict. That is why Yaakov was worried. So we find then there's an inyan of zechus to be living in Eretz Yisrael, even if there is no mitzvah listed by the Rambam. The mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, to conquer the land of Israel, then, according to the Ramban, is relevant to all generations. Which means, even nowadays, even when we're in Golos. So you might ask the question, what if it means losing life? Surely the only mitzvahs of the Torah which you are prepared to lose life for are the 3 cardinal sins. Yudah Aroyos, Shvichas Dovim, and Avodah Zorah. Immorality, murder, and idolatry. Those are the 3 things one gives up one's life for. There is also a 4th mitzvah called Kiddush Hashem. We won't go into that now. But Kibush Eretz Yisrael, when one fights for the land of Israel, surely when one is fighting, there is an inherent concept of being prepared to give up one's life. Is Kibush Eretz Yisrael one of the cardinal sins, like Gilah Rosh Shvichas Dovim Avodah Zarah, or isn't it? Says the Minchas Chinuch, it is obvious. Says the Minchas Chinuch, it is obvious that in the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, one is prepared to give up one's life. Because it is an inherent part of the mitzvah of Kibush. You can't say, conquer the land of Israel, but don't give up your life for it. It's an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. And therefore there is a 5th mitzvah for which one is prepared to give up one's life for, and that is conquering the land. If, says the Ramban, there is a mitzvah of conquering the land even nowadays, it means we must even be prepared to give up our life nowadays to conquer the land of Israel. And that's not talking about in exchange for something else. For peace, not for peace. Not to give up the land of Israel. This dilemma which we have, that the Rambam does not list the mitzvah nowadays, is perhaps clarified by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch is our daily code, writes in Evan Ezer, Simon Ayin Hei, Se'if Hei, that a husband may compel his wife to live in Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa. A woman can compel a husband to live in Eretz Yisrael, and that is nowadays. And if the husband says to his wife, come and live with me in the Eretz Yisrael, and she refuses, it's written he may give her a divorce, and she loses her kesuvah rights. He hasn't got to give her any money. Conversely, if a woman says to her husband, I want to live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, and he refuses, she can force him to give her a divorce, and he has to give her kesuvah rights. Now that is present day halakha. Similarly, the Gemara, the halacha in Hilchas Shabbos says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that you are allowed to buy land in Eretz Yisrael afilu b'Shabbos. You may not write; writing is a melacha. But the buying and the selling, which is an issur d'rabbanon, without the writing, you mustn't buy and sell on Shabbos. And in fact, the Novi and the Chemia says that these people who buy and sell on Shabbos are mechalalei Shabbos; they are desecrators of Shabbos. Nevertheless, it is written that you may arrange to buy land in Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of mitzvahs yishuv Eretz Yisrael, afilu bizman hazeh, afilu b'Shabbos, on Shabbos itself. You mustn't write, but you can negotiate the sale. Clearly then, notwithstanding the Rambam's omission of one of the mitzvahs, as it is in the present day halacha, the importance of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kivush Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael is prevalent nowadays. The Rabbi Soloveitchik said that the mitzvah then of the husband compelling the wife to live in Eretz Yisrael is justified even if there's a sakana there. He writes this in an article in a magazine called Tov Shebal Peh. He said if there is a danger of living in the land of Israel and the woman refuses to follow her husband to live there, she still loses her kesuvah rights. So the question is nowadays, of course, about waging war and retaining land. There's a number of rabbonim who have written about this. Sefer Le'oha Halacha, Rav Zevin, wrote that, following on from what the Ramban says, there is a duty nowadays. A number of other rabbonim have written about it. Rav Ephraim Weinberger, Rav Yeshua Arenberg, Rav Yehuda Gershuni. And the latter says that even the Fiha Rambam, nowadays, one can use force to keep the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, that is the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Even if we then hold according to the Rambam that there is no mitzvah nowadays, let's go to our second handout. And here you've got two extracts from the Chumash. There are two different extracts, even though they're on one sheet. The first one is from Vayis Chanon. If you look at the last pasuk there in Vayis Chanon, so we're talking about when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you will conquer those peoples, the Chiti, Girgashi, etc., and you will smite them. Hacharim. You shall utterly destroy them. Don't make any covenants with them. Don't show any mercy on them. And is also translated as don't give them any form of permanent kind of encampment. From chaniyah encampment. Don't give them encampment. And you've got there the Torah Tumimah on your page, quoting the Gemara. If you look there, the Torah Tumimah, velosachonim. Don't give them any encampment in the ground. And if you look at the bottom there, you've got the Torah Tumimah, Rav Epstein, who writes on this. Can you see on the right hand column a little Aleph? Rotzaloma, She'ein Nochin Lahem Basim Vasad, those Be'etz Yisrael. That one may not sell them the land, any houses or fields in Eretz Yisrael, Kadesh Shelo Tia Lahem Chaniyah B'Karka. In order that they may not have permanent camp in the land, Shimlo Yi Elohim Tia Yishivasom Yishivasarai. So that way, when they come along to the land, their living there will be like a temporary abode. But Ari B'Shiva Momim. Now we're dealing here with the seven nations, the Chiti Gigashi, etc. Uchapashtus Akosava Koda. Like we say in the previous Posseg, Venoshal Gaim Rabbi Machiti Vagigashi. Vachain Vagashus Basoma. But Tosus Sosku, but if you look at Tosus on that Gemara in Avodah Zorah, which is quoted here, Dav Kap Amud Aleph, the din of the bris relates to these seven peoples. Avol, avolavin elu, but these isolavin shovin b'chol ha'ovei b'chol. But these isurim velosachonim applies to all non-Jewish peoples, not just the seven listed here. The kosu came up isfar levad. Anyway, we won't go into what he carries on with because he questioned something on this. But the isur velosachonim is a different mitzvah to kibush eretz yisrael. It's a different mitzvah completely. And the Rambam does list Lo Sechonim as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And it does apply nowadays, just like it applied in former times. So that even if you hold that there is no mitzvah nowadays of kibush Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael, there is still another din daraisa of lo sechonim. And to give land of a permanent nature to a non-Jew is an issa daraisa. Right, okay, there is an inyan of Geret Hoshov, and if they keep the Sheva Mitzvahs. Right, yeah, there are different commentaries on this, that maybe lo sechonim is only applying to those who don't keep the Sheva Mitzvah, for they know. Yeah, okay. There is even something written about this, do we make a distinction between Muslims and Christians, because Muslims have a monotheism and Christians have a trinity. And maybe we can give residence to Muslims and not to Christians. Yeah, okay. There isn't enough time to go into all this, but there are these points written about, yeah.
Could be taken as from Shalan Chani. It means you don't give them an equal status.
Don't give them chayim, don't give them equal status. Yeah, okay.
Any status.
Yeah, any status. Don't give them citizenship. Now, if you look on the other page, the next shak from Mishpotim at the last pasuk on that page, it says Lo Yeshru Ba'atzachom. So we're talking here about these peoples; they may not dwell in your land. Why? And the pasuk gives us a reason: Penyachtilos Choli, because they will cause you to sin against me if you allow the non-Jewish peoples in your land, and therefore you will assimilate amongst them, and they will be a bad influence for you. This is going to give us concern. You will then serve their gods. They will be a snare unto you. So there's another reason why the non-Jews should not mix with us in Eretz Yisrael, and that is they'll be a bad influence for you. So this is also a relevant mitzvah daraisa. Says the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Shviyos, Perek Kaf Dalet Siv Aleph, he says that reason given by the Torah that they will cause you to sin, Lo Yeshu Ba'atzcho, also applies to Lo Sechonim. He says that the reason for Lo Sechonim is also that they will come and influence you, and that the ways of the Goyim will come and assimilate you, and therefore you shall not give them a permanent residence in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is this: if in Lo Sechonim we're talking about a sale of land, are we talking simply about a sale, asks Rav David Bleich in his Contemporary Halachic Problems, or are we saying any act which causes the non-Jew to reside in Eretz Yisrael would be osur min ha-Torah, apart from the mitzvah of kibush and yeshivas Eretz Yisrael? Is that transfer of sovereignty, apart from a sale, is that also an issur under Lo Sechonim? What is sovereignty? Is sovereignty flying a flag? Is sovereignty the ability for them to impose taxes? It's to make their own laws. Well, what Rav Black does not say is that sovereignty can include compulsory purchase orders. Sovereignty can mean if you are a Jew owning land in Eretz Yisrael, and that land is given to the Arabs, you still own that land. You still have deeds of title. We know from experience that Arabs drive Jews out from their land, and they don't regard Jewish title as title. But if there is a peace agreement, and they regard your ownership still as ownership, then surely you can still own land in Eretz Yisrael, even if there is Arab sovereignty. The problem is that if there is a power of compulsory purchase, which sovereign powers have, then your title really can be meaningless. And therefore it's logical to say that not only does Lo Sechonim apply to a sale of land, Lo Sechonim would apply to hand over land for the purposes of sovereignty. Therefore, Rabbi Zoltishlitz does say that political sovereignty does carry with it the idea of a permanent domicile, a permanent resident, and therefore he says that Lo Sechonim does apply. Rav Avadya Hadaya writes in the Anil in Noam that therefore it is also to give land, and he refers to the Achiezer, who was Rav Chaim Ozer Krajinski. Rav Chaim Ozer Krajinski, time of the partition plan of 1947, and the partition plan was put to both the Jews and Arabs, and he was asked to Shaila whether the Jews may agree to this partition plan, and he said, since the land is currently owned by Gentiles, there is no din of Lo Sechonim because it's not ours being given away. And therefore he said it's allowed to go for such a plan. The inference of his psak is that nowadays we're in control of the land. And as we're in control of the land, then the issur of Lo Sechonim would apply.
The Arabs actually own the land. I mean,
If they have deeds of title, not sovereignty, then according to that, Lo Sechone would not be an issue. But you've still got Kibush to think about. Yeah. Lo Sechone seems to be more the idea of where you're in control as well as having title. And it's certainly probable, as we know, that if we do give them land or give them sovereignty, we will be devoid of our title. Now, the question therefore is Lo Sechanim or not? If there is a din that you are prepared to give up your land in order to save life. For example, we said that Kibush Eretz Yisrael involves giving up your life. But Lo Sechanim doesn't say you have to give up your life. And we know that the cardinal sins require one to give up one's life, which means that all the other mitzvahs, you don't have to give up your life. So the question is this. Putting apart now the mitzvah of Kibush and the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, the question is, do we forego the mitzvah of Lo Sechonim, which does apply to all times, according to the Rambam, in order to save Jewish lives? If you can say that Jewish lives will be saved by giving land away or back to Arabs, then maybe we are allowed to under the din of Lo Sechonim. And this is a question which was dealt by the ex-chief rabbi Lord Jacobowitz. He created a bit of a controversy about 14 years ago when he gave a drasha on this very topic. He was regarded as a dove, we might call it, in Israeli language, because he advocated giving land to the Arabs under a peace settlement. He said he was uncomfortable about doing so. And he said he's not talking about a promise of peace. He was talking about genuine peace. And if Hamas are denying the existence of the State of Israel, there's no starting point to talk about a genuine peace. But I must be careful, because I said this is not a political lecture. Rav Jacobowitz quoted the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in the Roman siege of Jerusalem. And he secretly got out and met Vespasian. And he was willing to give up. Said, okay, take the land, take Eretz Yisrael, but just give me Yavneh and the sages. Give me Yavneh and I'll be happy. Because he foresaw that the survival of the Jewish people was primarily from the learning of Torah. And he said, if you can give me Yavneh, okay. To this you can argue, look, he foresaw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if they fight, then they'll all be killed. And if you're all going to be killed, there's no point in fighting. And in fact, the proof of that is that the zealots, the right-wingers, the hawks, who defied Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and who fled to Masada and tried to hold out for another three or whatever years, they were all massacred. And it may well be, you could say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai foresaw that there would be this massacre if they wouldn't go ahead. Suicide. Okay. Alright. They died. However, you could say, although Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a dove, you could say that Rabbi Akiva was a bit of a hawk. Because when there was the Bar Kokhba revolt, Rabbi Akiva was in support of it. And he was even under the impression that Bar Kokhba might be the Mashiach. But the Bar Kokhba revolt was also crushed. Anyway, it is reported that Rav Avadia Yosef did once say to President Mubarak of Egypt that there is nothing in Jewish law to prevent us from giving land back to Arabs. However, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe was a very strong advocate of not giving any land back at all. And my understanding of this is that he was not doing this on the basis of the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael or Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He didn't live in the land of Israel himself. But in fact, he went round to the Israeli embassy during the war, I think the Six-Day War, and he was pressing for them to go for Damascus. And the reason for the Lubavitchers for this was not to do with the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, but was to do with the din of Pekuach Nefesh. That in the view of the Lubavitchers, that there was a din of Pekuach Nefesh not to give back land, because we give back land, we will not have defensible borders. However, there's a Rav Lichtenstein, who was a son-in-law of Rav J.B. Soloveitchik, who said he would be prepared to give back even the Kotel HaMaravi in order to save one Jewish life. And this is then where the differences of opinion lie. Now, I learnt under somebody called Rav Shimon Weiser, who I was in a lot of correspondence with after Yeshiva. He was, in fact, the Rosh HaKolel of the Yeshiva I was learning in Shalvin. But he gave us lots of shirim, and I had a contact with him after I left, asking him various questions. And I asked him this question already when the subject came up some years ago about giving land back to the Arabs. And if you look at the middle paragraph there, I've reproduced part of his erogram. When I asked the simple question, is it okay to give land back to the Arabs in a peace settlement? And he wrote the following, he says, the place is shrinking and going, an expression. Regarding your question about giving land back to Eretz Yisrael, Peshita, it is obvious, she'en kol heta, there is absolutely no heta. We are commanded to conquer the whole of Eretz Yisrael, af aludei melchama, even by means of war. Kumosha kosova rambam, hosefa sovra sefer hamitzvahs. As the Rambam explains in the extract I've given you, and naturally, in every war, one is putting one's life in danger. So we're commanded to put our lives in danger in order to conquer the land. But kol shekein, he makes here a kol v'chomer, but kol shekein, and all the more so, she'osu l'hachzir Eretz Yisrael k'day l'hatzil nefashot. It is forbidden to give back land in order to save lives. And this is so simple a matter, I do not know from where this blindness has grown, which covers the eyes of the community, with this question. He says, I cannot even comprehend such a question. It's so obvious not to give back Eretz Yisrael. In a polite form, he's basically saying to me, you've asked me a klotz kasha. However, with due respect to my Rebbe Rav Shimon Weiser, we have seen from others that there is a debate about whether a peace settlement can save lives, and if it can save lives, we can set aside. And that is really what the debate nails down to. I can't therefore give you a coherent answer, I can only quote to you what these various ones say. Now, there is a story about the Chofetz Chaim when the Balfour Declaration came out, and there were people who were dancing in the streets, and they were telling him about the rejoicing that the British government had passed a resolution that they would give in principle land of Eretz Yisrael to the Jews. So the Chofetz Chaim to them, he says, okay, you're happy, but you should know that what Hashem has promised us is much, much more than what the British government has promised us. And what they have promised us, which might be just for a few thousand yidden, what Hashem has promised us in time to come will be far, far greater for us to and you will have a wonderful territory to be proud of, and we hope that that waiting will be a short one and it will happen very soon, speedily in our days. Thank you.